What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, we are back today, and I am so excited. We get to talk more about agents today, and you guys know how much I love to talk about that. We have a Daily Digest episode with a ton of awesome news, so let's not waste any more time and go ahead and get into it. First thing I'm going to talk about are those agents. I can't wait. I'm not going to try and save it till the end. The news has recently dropped that OpenAI is entering the agent race with a new agentic feature or agentic software that is being called Operator. And it is set to be launched in January 2025, so we won't have to wait too long, fortunately. And this is just another step along the path of changing the way we interact with computers. We've talked about Anthropic's computer use, Microsoft's Copilot Vision. Google has a project called Jarvis, which we've also mentioned. Apple's App Intents. Now we have OpenAI with Operator. And the primary capabilities are going to be things like writing code autonomously, operating within web browsers. And just like computer use and Copilot Vision, the idea here is conducting autonomous tasks on your device with very limited to no supervision. And we've talked about on this podcast before, I truly believe that agentic AI, the wave of agentic AI that's incoming to the tech space and eventually businesses and eventually homes and people's devices, which we'll talk about too, is going to be the next real game changer, the next mind blower for people. And according to today's rundown.ai newsletter, Sam Altman also echoed similar thoughts in a recent interview, saying agentic capabilities will, quote unquote, feel like the next giant breakthrough. Because, well, there were people like me out there who saw these conversational chat models, these LLMs, and that's all it took. We've been hyped on AI ever since. But understandably, some other people, these chatbots didn't really get everybody. They didn't blow everybody's mind the same way. Technology takes time to saturate into a population. And if you're not a knowledge-based worker, if you're not in a knowledge-based career, you have a lot less reason to use these tools in their current iterations, in the formats that they're in right now. So there are still a lot of people who haven't had that aha moment when AI truly blows their mind. And I think when these devices with these agentic models, these agentic capabilities running on them, start to make their way out into the population, that's when things are really going to change as far as adoption goes. And as far as, you know, our personal use of these tools and our marketing strategies, these agentic tools, we've already talked about what agentic AI can mean for productivity and the scaling of work and efficiency, what it means for resource management and cost savings. So the fact that OpenAI is now jumping into the race could not be better news as far as I'm concerned. And I really think there's some arbitrage here that can be done if you familiarize yourself with how to implement these agentic tools, not only into your own business, but into your clients' businesses, if you're a freelancer, an agency, or your employer's business. The agents are 100% coming. I've said this before too, and I'll say it again, the agents are definitely on the way. And we were just talking about AI adoption and how AI on device and in people's hands and in people's homes will be a huge accelerator of that adoption. And well, Apple has recently announced their coming launch of an in-home smart device, an Apple Hub, a wall-mounted display with AI capabilities. So at long last, Apple has entered the fray as far as in-home devices go, competing with Google's Nest Home and Amazon's Echo products. You're going to get a nice wall-mounted screen that you can interact with via touch and voice. Apparently, there are also versions that can be set on a table or certain bases. And there's even a version in development that's going to have a robotic arm installed. And apparently, it's going to be able to move the screen and spin it and tilt it for you and stuff like that. But if you want the robotic arm, you're going to have to pay a premium for that. Apparently, the base model should be priced similarly to or competitively to those other smart home devices. But a premium version with a robotic arm could cost you up to $1,000. Anyway, of course, you're going to have the best of the best Apple software running on these devices. Apparently, it's going to combine elements of the Apple Watch OS and some iPhone standby features. And I've linked in the show notes to the articles where I'm pulling all this information from if you want to do a deeper dive into the tech specs for this device. But the big news is that it's going to integrate with the Apple Intelligence AI platform. So you're going to have AI capabilities on your in-home device. And these are the types of things that I think will drive AI adoption more than anything, especially when a company with a design and a brand like Apple gets involved. And as these devices are developed and rolled out, and as users familiarize themselves with the new interfaces, this is also going to be a new area or a new channel to potentially reach customers. And unfortunately, my wife likes to say that marketers ruin everything, and she's not necessarily wrong. I tend to agree with her that eventually marketers will figure out a way to ruin almost every channel. But Apple being Apple, I'm sure it won't be as simple as just advertising directly on an in-home device. You're probably going to need to optimize your content for different types of search or different types of display, whether it's an app or a blog, whatever it is. You're going to have to figure out how to optimize it for these new devices. And we're already talking about things like that when it comes to AI search and optimizing for these AI search engines, and optimizing for AI agents is probably going to be very similar. Anyway, as these new channels and as these new interfaces roll out, it always pays to test out new mediums or try and be a first mover in a platform or something like that. So keep your eyes open for sure for new marketing channels. Apparently, this device is also set to come in 2025, so we should be seeing it hopefully soon. Okay, and I'm going to wrap up today's episode with a little fun adventure into some marketing futurism. Typically, those are episodes I do on their own, but I'm just going to tag this one on to the end of our daily digest because I was inspired to do this futurism dive by an article that I found in a recent Rundown.ai newsletter, both of which are linked in the show notes. And this is the news that Japanese researchers have created an AI system that can detect high blood pressure and diabetes through just video analysis of a person's face and palm. Just a brief video analysis at that, and it's pretty incredible rates of accuracy as well. Again, check out the link in the show notes if you want to do a deep dive, but apparently the tool sees like 94% accuracy in detecting stage 1 hypertension, 86% accuracy with 30-second videos in finding above normal blood pressure, again, just from a video, which is really incredible. So obviously this has huge implications for the healthcare industry. I mean, you have things like in-home health monitoring, you combine Apple's smart home device or any other smart home device that has a camera with these type of technologies. Of course, your privacy advocates are already jumping out of their seats right now, and that they're right to. This is, opens up a huge realm of privacy questions and concerns. But given all the proper consent and administration, you're looking at the ability to do some incredibly non-invasive screening from home for your patients. And you're looking at rises in early detection of all sorts of conditions and all sorts of potential integrations with other devices or medical reporting systems that really enhance patient care to a huge degree. Okay, so there, we did our disclaimer. Of course, that is the most incredible potential of this technology, I think, the medical aspect of things. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about marketing and marketing futurism. And when you have these AI systems that can do such precise and in-depth analysis based just on visual input, like a video input that's only 30 seconds, first of all, imagine what you could do with more than 30 seconds. But let's go ahead and play our little marketing futurism game, Imagine If. So like, imagine if in a retail, like, but a healthcare environment, like a pharmacy, instead of just, you know, browsing around the aisles or looking for the appropriate treatment or medicine for what ails you, you step up to a screen, you look into a screen for 30 seconds or so, and then the AI quickly analyzes your health markers and can instantly recommend the appropriate products or vitamins or treatment options for you. You don't have to interact with a pharmacist or a healthcare specialist entirely. It's all personalized and super non-invasive. Something very similar could be done in spas or salons. Imagine if you are an insurance company and one of the most demanding things on your time, I would imagine, is performing or gathering data or administering all the medical examinations and the results and the logistics of getting your applicants examined and applied. Replace those lengthy exams with super quick, non-invasive at-home screens that can screen for any like pre-existing conditions, and your application numbers just went way up, and your customer experience also just got a huge benefit because you were the ones that were able to make it easy for them to stay home and simply look at a screen and get their insurance quote that easily. Continuing in the wellness trend or on the wellness, continuing with the wellness theme, something similar could also be implemented in gyms or workout facilities. You could have smart mirrors that are tracking members' biometrics or health improvements over time. Of course, in this hypothetical future, privacy concerns definitely will have to be addressed and possibly be, you know, probably the biggest bottleneck to highly personalized experiences like this. But again, in this hypothetical future, this could hugely benefit a customer experience or a member of your gym's experience. And you'd get an insane amount of valuable content for like before and after stories, testimonial stories, et cetera, if you have customers that are willing to share that data. Not necessarily their own personal numbers, but maybe just percentages and change and improvements and things like that. Anyway, that's just a few ideas off the top of my head for how this technology could be used. And as I continue to think about it, and I'm on the run here, you could also do like focus groups or individual interviews with customers about your product or their experiences, or you could look for facial signals and their responses while you're showing them different advertising content. And this is all technology that's actually pretty available now as far as eye tracking goes and the ability to track certain biometrics and moods. It will obviously advance, though, and become more accessible and affordable to the average business owner with technology like this. And maybe just maybe it's just an app that you can run on people's devices, showing them test content and their camera is recording their reaction and getting that data. And it's all private and consented, and you can use it to adjust your advertising. Anyway, let me know what I missed. What are you guys brainstorming up when you think of highly advanced cameras that can do things like diagnose medical conditions based on video? Let me know what your creative use cases would be in this imagining of a marketing future, in our marketing futurism exercise. Okay, that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated. It is by far the most helpful thing you could do for the show. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you get notified each day when the episode drops. So until next time, and as always, thanks for joining me, and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye. Oh, 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 oh